Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Aavas Financiers Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as of the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sachinder Bhinder, Managing Director and CEO of Aavas Financiers Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for participating in the earnings call to discuss the performance of our company for Q1 FY24. The results and the presentation are available on the stock exchanges as well as on our company website, and I hope everyone has had a chance to look at it. With me, I have Ghanshyam Rawat, President and CFO, Ashutosh Atre, President and CRO, Siddharth Srivastava, Chief Business Officer, Surinder Sihag, Chief Collection Officer, Ripudaman Bandral, Chief Credit Officer, Gigi Oommen, Chief Technology Officer, Anshul Bhargava, Chief People Officer, Rajaram Balasubramaniam, Chief Strategy Officer and Head of Analytics, and Ghanshyam Gupta, Investor Relations and SGA, our IR advisors. In Q1 FY24, we registered AUM growth of 23.2% at 1,46,500 million rupees and a PAT growth of 23% at 1,097.1 million. We disbursed 10,682 million in the quarter. A quick update on the technology transformation project. We went with a pan-India SFDC LOS rollout in April  2023. It took some time for the system to stabilize and people to adapt to the new technology, which led to an overall softer disbursement in Q1 FY23. However, the system was fully stable by May and exited hypercare in June. In fact, June 2023, month-on-month disbursement saw a growth of about 17%, further emphasizing the strong macro tailwinds driving the demand in our customer segment. In Q1 FY24, the new LOS system handles 33,000 files seamlessly. We continue to be excited to see how this will help us unlock productivity while delivering customer delight through quicker decisioning and disbursements. We are ready for the next step of our technology transformation with LMS and ERP systems, which will go live by Q4 of this financial year. We continue to invest for the medium and long term in both people and technology. The operating expenses for this period was slightly elevated as we had increments, headcount increase, and ESOP costs in the period in addition to the tech costs. I would now hand over the line to Ghanshyam Rawat, President and CFO, to discuss the financials in detail. Over to you.
Thank you, Sachinder. Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to our earnings call. While we continued to borrow judiciously, we raised around 13,826 million at 8.01% during the Q1 FY24. As on 30 June 2023, an average cost of borrowing on total borrowing is 7.66% against an average portfolio yield of 13.26%, resulted in a spread of 5.60. As on 30 June 2023, total number of live accounts stood at 192,446, translating into 21% year-on-year growth. Total number of branches was 348, with two new branches being added in last 3 months. Employee count was at 5,700. Assets under management grew by 23.2% year-on-year to 146,500 rupees as on 30 June 2023. Product-wise breakup: home loan 69.8%, other mortgage loan 30.2%. Occupation-wise breakup: salaried 40.2%, self-employed 59.8%. IGAAP to Ind AS reconciliation has been explained in detail for profit after tax, and net worth on slide number 31 and 33 of the presentation. On the borrowing side, there is access to diversified and cost-effective long-term financing. There is strong relationship with the development financial institutions. Total outstanding borrowing as on 30th June stood at 1,33,816 million. Overall borrowing mix of 30th June 2023 is 46.6% from term loan, 20.9% from assignment and securitization, 21.3% on NHB refinancing, and 11.2% from debt capital market. Lender support continues to remain extremely strong as Aavas evolved continuously. Liquidity of ₹31,827 million as on 30 June 2023. Cash and cash equivalent of ₹20,227 million. Unavailed CC limit of ₹1,100 million. Documented unavailed from National Housing Bank and other banks is ₹10,500 million. Profitability. PAT increased by 23% year on year to ₹1,097.1 million for Q1 FY24. ROA on 3.16% and ROE was 13.8% for Q1 FY24. As on 30 June 2023, we are well capitalized with a net worth of ₹33,887 million and capital adequacy ratio at 47.32%. Our book value per share stood at 428.5 rupees. Now I would like to hand over the line to Ashutosh, the President and CRO, to discuss the asset quality numbers.
Thank you, Ghanshyamji. The key portfolio risk parameters, asset quality and provisioning. One day past due stood at 3.68% in Q1 of FY24 as against 4.67% at Q1 of FY23. Gross stage 3 stood at 1% and net stage 3 stood at 0.73% as on 30th of June 2023. Gross stage 3 of 1% includes 0.13% of up to 90 DPD assets which have been categorized as GNPA following RBI's notification dated 12th of November 2021. During FY22, resolution plan was implemented for certain borrower accounts as per RBI resolution framework 2.0 dated 5th of May 2021. Basis the perceived risk and as a matter of prudence, some such accounts with an outstanding amount of ₹843.8 million as on 30th of June 2023 have been classified as stage 2 and provided for as per the regulatory guidelines. Out of ₹843.8 million, ₹639.9 million is within 0 to 30 bucket, 0 to 30 DPD bucket. Total ECL provisioning including that for COVID-19 impact as well as resolution framework 2.0 stood at ₹765.6 million as of 30th of June 2023. Aavas is well placed to continue its industry leading asset quality. With this, I open the floor for Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Abhijit Debrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yeah, good afternoon, Abhijit.
Yeah, hi. Sir, just two questions, more from clarification perspective, though you highlighted that during the quarter, Aavas went for a pan-India Salesforce rollout, which led to softer disbursements in the first quarter. and you also highlighted that the system got stabilized somewhere around May. So, sir, I just wanted to understand while this would have impacted on disbursements, your sanctions should have been in line with your expectations. So if you could just share the sanction pipeline, what was the growth in the sanctions? And given that, I mean, if sanctions were good and we could not just disburse, can we expect some of that in terms of pent-up demand or pent-up sanctions which were there to lead to a higher disbursement run rate in the quarters to come? And also, I mean, while things normalize from June onwards, can you share the disbursement run rate in June and July?
So, Abhijit, on the June, as I highlighted, we had a muted April because of the pan-India rollout of our SFDC, and which we got the stabilization happening in the month of May. And as we entered, as we exited May and we had June, so June saw about around 17 to 18% growth over that. And as you rightly elucidated, there are sanctions which will really come across and help us in the quarter two actually to come across. So you rightly articulated, and that's what we see that happening as the system has moved out of its stabilization phase and the hypercare, and now it's fully stabilized. And I think you have to really, one has to be really, it was a big transformation project for us, and we took a call of getting across on a pan-India basis, both from a perspective of people adaptation and technology stabilization. So these were the two things which were the major ones which were related. But as a team, as a effort of the teams, we were able to bounce back in the month of May, stabilize, and come June, we've been on track.
Got it. Got it. So the last question that I had here is, if you could share the breakup of your NHB borrowings, what was the regular refinance and what was for affordable housing finance? And sir, in your presentation every quarter, we share incremental borrowings. This quarter it was about 1380 crores, which came at about 8%. Can you also share what was the incremental cost of borrowings ex NHB so that we can try to understand what is the margin trajectory that is going to look like? Because sir, from what we understand, I mean, large part of repo rate increases or PLR increases are already reflecting in the book of housing financials. So from here, how should yields pan out? How should cost of borrowings move? And obviously the impact or the trajectory that will have it will have on the margins.
Yeah, Abhijit, your question has a two part. I think let me cover the first part. NHB during this quarter, out of total borrowing, we borrowed almost 20% from NHB in this quarter, and other than NHB also we have a few good products from the banks, institutions, from other private lenders where we able to borrow less than MCLR rates from them. So our overall cost of borrowing for this quarter is 8%. NHB overall in component of our borrowing, if you see, we are roughly 20 to 22% in overall our borrowing mix. Fresh year, this year also, we got a fresh sanctions, which is almost out of my total borrowing program. We have got a new sanction also, which is around 20% of total borrowing program. So whatever mix we have, NHB borrowing and other borrowing, it will remain the similar in the this year, and we hopefully remain in the coming year also, because we do a lot of lending, which is a very important for NHB and Government of India and financial inclusion, rural semi-urban area, low ticket, new to credit. So those are our prime segments. So that help us in overall in cost of borrowing side. And on overall, I think we are in this quarter, we increased 40 basis point as our increase. Cost of borrowing side, I think we see a lot of stabilization through RBI, and I think repo rate in last two cycle, I think government RBI has given a pause. So we think more or less remain some impact definitely will be there on the old borrowing, but we are in the range where we can able to maintain our healthy margins in the coming quarters.
Got it. First, Ghanshyam, just one clarification. NHB borrowings are still coming at those lending rates of about 5.5%?
I think, Abhijit, these are two granular questions. I think I mentioned that 20% will remain maintained in the coming quarter. That will help us to maintain our cost of borrowing.
Got it. Got it. Thank you so much. I will come back in the question too. Best wishes to Bhavaski. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nidesh from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So firstly, in the disbursement run rate, if you can mention what is the YY growth for the month of June, July, that will give us confidence that now we have normalized and this is the disbursement run rate that we should expect for the full year. On a YY basis, what was the disbursement growth in the month of June and July, if you can share that?
So thanks, Nidesh. As I highlighted that we went through a big transformation project and 8 branches in the month of March to pan-India, 350-plus kind of branches. And as I said that May was a stabilization period. June is a time when we had a 17% of growth, and July also we continued with the same kind of growth. And we see that in the month of August and September, we will have a gradual movement which would be on the upside. So we are very confident as a team that after the system stabilization and after the availability of this state-of-the-art technology, we'll be able to deliver in respect to what we've been guided to the market as always, actually.
Sure. So we should expect 20 to 25% AUM growth for the company.
Yeah, 100% for sure, Nitesh, and that's been our guidance throughout. So we continue confident on that, and we are confident that we'll be there in that range of 20 to 25% AUM growth.
Okay. And secondly, sir, there have been a lot of noise about employee attrition after the management change. If you can change some statistics, how the employee attrition run rate is going through. Specifically in Q1, how are the trends on employee attrition? Last year data we already have in the annual report, but if you can share how the trends are in Q1, that would be useful.
Yeah, thanks. This, from a perspective of the senior management, or if you ask about CXO minus 1, 2, I think there is none. The most of the attrition which you see is the frontline, which is a normal industry norms, and it is in line with what the industry goes through. And our attempt has always been highlighted is that really to build careers for people and to invest in people as a part. And we say as a part of our journey, it is around people and technology. And in that, what we've done is for the middle and for the senior management to go across and tied up with IIM Ahmedabad to have the leadership programs which are on the real life kind of scenarios of the companies which we face, and really upgrade them and reskill them. And our entire focus has been there on the people side. So that's what it is. So it's been a normal, nothing which is anything which is bothering or anything which is off the one, which I would really highlight. It's a frontline sales, which is always a normal course.
Okay. And lastly, what is the BT out number for the quarter? Balance out, absolute balance out of the loan book in this quarter that we have seen.
It's in the range which we have seen in the last few years also, 1.4% of opening AUM for the quarter. Roughly our guidance is there that roughly 0.5% every month it's remain BT out.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it for myself.
Thanks, Nidesh.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Shah from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi. So the question was on OPEX. So given that maybe with respect to Salesforce implementation plus technology upgradation, how do we see overall OPEX to assets? I think this time we had a higher employee cost, but what would be the broad outlook out there, and any components within the employee cost which were exceptional, and we should see the moderation in the coming quarters?
Yeah, thanks, Kunal. I'll have GSR answer in detail on the breakup of OPEX, and it's our endeavor to really work across what is operationally right and get operational efficiency. I think GSR.
Thanks, Kunal. It's two questions. One is manpower cost, other is overall OPEX trajectory versus AUM. If you see manpower cost quarter four versus quarter one, sequential quarter, we have a roughly 8 to 9% annual increment cost in this quarter. There is a one-time cost in this quarter, roughly 1.25 crore of one of the KMP retirement benefit and all these things, which is a one-time cost in this quarter. And one important item, when you compare with the quarter four to quarter one, in last year quarter four, certain ESOP schemes got matured where unvested some quantum was there. That quantum got reversed in the last quarter, which was given as a reversal of 10 crore rupees, versus in this quarter, we have a normal cost of 5 to 6 crore rupees as a ESOP cost basically. If you eliminate and compare this thing, so you will find quarter 4 to quarter 1, we are roughly at 8 to 10% incremental and a manpower cost, apple to apple. I hope that clarify your question. And overall OPEX cost trajectory, yes, you know we are doing tech transformations and all these things are there. But generally in quarter one, OPEX to AUM ratio remain little bit elevated because first quarter growth in AUM is lower than what we see in overall growth in full year basis. So as we move ahead, we are confident at the year end, we will be whatever we have given a commentary on the annual, we will be in the range of what you have seen 3.68% last year closing. We will be a few basis points, 5 to 10 basis points here and there.
Okay, but the delta would be 10 odd basis points, largely.
Roughly, largely look like so.
Okay, so it will be still upwards of 3.5.
No, no, we have closed last year 3.68. This quarter we closed 3.79. So as I mentioned, we will be 5-10 basis point here and there. So roughly you can take 3.68 around something.
Sure. And the only thing is in terms of current quarter's employee cost, only 1.25 crores related to retirement benefit is the one off. Otherwise, balance would be more kind of a normal cost of increments and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, normal recruitment cost. Also, if you see the percentage increase, so that 1 year ESOP reversal last year and this year is a normal ESOP cost. So that, if you eliminate that piece, so you will find that there is a normal increase in a manpower cost of around 8 to 10%. Quarter on quarter basis.
How much would be
the ESOP cost, Kunal, is about 12 crores, which has highlighted by Ghanshyamji on the part where when we say 12 crore increase, is because you have minus 5 crore compared to quarter 4, which had a reversal, and 7 crore of in the current quarter. So that amounts to, total 10 amounts to.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shweta Daptardar from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So I just have one question. Of late, our product mix has been tilting more towards other mortgage loans. So is this by design or demand? And how does the mix look like going forward?
If you see, I think, yes, definitely we are in the ratio of generally we want to maintain roughly 35% in non-home loan, and we done very thing beautifully in last couple of years. We designed more MSME product, which is give us a extra value creation in the overall shareholder value, because we are able to tie up long-term low-cost fund for MSME lending. So that is, I think, helping us to in overall spread and NIM basis. So we want to be remain in the similar bucket, somewhere 65% plus home loan, around 30 to 35% is a non-home loan. But non-home loan, we want to work 50% plus as a MSME, and the remaining land, maybe life cycle need of my existing or new customer loan will become part of that basically.
Sure. So just one follow-up question there.
But if you see in this quarter one, we have a compared with the year-on-year basis quarter, home loan component is increase in this quarter. So which is almost 6% better than if you compare with the last year quarter one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, understood. So just follow-up question there on the, because you mentioned about SME and other products. So could you provide more color, because the peers and others have been calling on certain concerns on the small ticket lending. So could you provide color on your portfolio on the SME and small retail ticket lending?
I think very important question. All these MSME loans are fully backed by residential mortgage security. 95% plus my customer in the living in that house, they mortgage that house to us. My normal LTV comes under the assets around 45% to 50%. It's giving us a yield around somewhere 15%. Plus yield, it gives us the business. My cost of borrowing for this fund is asset around 8.5%. So it's a good product. Or we are in this product last almost in the fifth year of business operation for this product. So we have run almost one cycle of credit quality also, and we didn't see NPA more than 1% in that book also.
And Swetha, just to add on to what Ravaji said, it is another is that we've always followed the cash flow based underwriting practice. And that is how actually it helps us to maintain center.
Understood, sir. That was quite helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Sita.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from the line of Pallavi Deshpande from Sameeksha. Please go ahead.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you for it. On the long-term borrowing for the MSME, which you mentioned at the earlier, what's the rate we are getting it and what's the source of funding, since you said it's coming out in either subsidized rate maybe.
Pallavi, could you please repeat your question?
You mentioned about MSME, the funding that you're getting is attractive rate and for a long tenure. So if you could just, share with us what's the tenure and what's the rate you're getting at that.
Yeah.
This is to understand from an industry perspective, nothing to do with Aavas, but just wanted to, because we're seeing a lot of boom in the MSME space. So I just want to understand, who's funding it actually, since you said it's at attractive rates.
You will appreciate a name to take, a lender name is would difficult, but I can give the sector-wise something. These are secured borrowing, and as a Aavas, we have demonstrated in last 10 years very credit consciousness and quality of our portfolio. If you see in last 10 years, we total write-off is 25 crore rupees against our total lending of 23,000 crore rupees in last 10 years. So market recognize that thing, and accordingly we get a best price when we borrow from the market. PSU banks, private banks, all are the lenders in that market, and on multilets are also showing interest to lend MSME lending. So roughly we get around 8 to 10 year long-term borrowing from these lenders. Roughly pricing comes between 8 to 8.5%.
Right, sir. Thank you so much, sir. That's all.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raghav Garg from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Just one question from my side. If you could help us with the absolute amount standing in each of these four states, which is Rajasthan, Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh and Gujarat. That'll be very helpful. Thank you.
Rajasthan is at overall basis. You know, Rajasthan, we started the business. Initially, Rajasthan used to be around 80% state, but we consciously diversified our business from Rajasthan to MP, Gujarat, Maharashtra, Chhattisgarh, Uttarakhand, Haryana, Delhi, NCR, Karnataka, and UP. So now Rajasthan contribution is in the range of 30 to 35%, and Maharashtra, MP, and Gujarat equally around 15 to 16%.
Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayank Agarwal from InCred Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Mayank Agarwal, you may go ahead with the question. Mr. Mayank?
Hello, can I have
you? Yes, we can hear you now. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on the successful tax implementation. So my first question is on the benefit of tax implementation. How it would reduce our tax? So our tax was earlier about 10 plus 3. So we would benefit on that. And second, in terms of efficiency, how much increased efficiency we could deliver because of this tax implementation?
So we'll have DG Women, our Chief Technology Officer, to answer on this.
Hi, Mayank. Good afternoon. So to your question, so we have actually just gone live in the last quarter with the new technology platform, and our main objective of bringing in the new technology platform are threefold. One, of course, to bring in better efficiency and productivity in the entire process. Second, how do we make our systems and processes more stable and scalable? And then the third is bringing in the right customer experience, right? So of course, we are in the first quarter post stabilization, and we have enabled the mechanisms to track every single process and timestamp it, so that we are able to track the when, you know, the how the processes are or how the file is moving across different processes. We brought the entire organization to a common platform that will also help everybody to seamlessly, you know, right from the onboarding of customer going all the way up to the dismissal. So we have now that ecosystem in place. Of course, scalability is, something which is already done, and at the same time on the efficiency and, coordination perspective, now the tech ecosystem is in place. And of course, by quarter, we will track, we'll keep improving the different processes. Of course, it will take us some time to reach the final destination, but it's definitely going to be a journey, and that journey has already begun. On the other side, on the customer experience side, we have really started observing that the way in which we are able to get the customer application underwritten and disbursed, has become much more seamless. You know, we have enforced something called FTR. So when a file is brought into the system to start the process, we ensure that all the required checkpoints are put in place so that, we do not need to go back and forth to the customer to collect documents and, ask more questions. So the on-ground feedback from our team has been very, very positive. Our team is quite confident that they will be able to, bring in better efficiency and customer experience going forward. Of course, as I said, the journey has just begun. We will keep, tracking the progress on a month-to-month, quarter-by-quarter basis to make sure that over a period of time, we will reach a substantial amount of, agility, speed, performance, and customer experience. I hope this answers your question.
One more thing. I'd like to add one point here. See, the stabilization and adaptation, best part is, opening remarks, Sachinder said, we processed 33,000 files in a new platform, and we have started seeing some green shoots in the TAT, and which we have seen and we have started experiencing, because of which we were able to recover very fast. So two things are very important. The scalability of platform is there, because the platform is at a away from hyperscale stage in within 30 to 45 days. This is one big thing. And second thing is the team is able to adapt to that system. I think these two things are very important for us to, in terms of Q1, these two things we take care of very much. And we have started seeing some green shoots, and I'm sure this journey has just started, as Gigi said. And we are looking forward to a big benefit coming out of this digital transformation.
Thanks. That was really useful. My second question is on the new branches which we have established in the newer geography in past 2.5 years after COVID. I guess these branches would have been done their learning curve as of now and would be started contributing to the disbursement. How is your experience in the incremental disbursement, incremental AUM from these new geographies and the new branches established?
Abhijit, we in last 2 years, if you look at, we have gone big time in Karnataka. We've invested a good amount of things. We have done some investment in Odisha, and we have opened some branches in UP also. So we are seeing a decent growth happening in Odisha and in Karnataka. Karnataka has been a very what we look at Karnataka is a very similar to Gujarat in terms of population, in terms of how many districts are there. And if you look at Karnataka, we didn't went very strongly only in Bangalore. So out of 23 branches total we have in Karnataka, only 4 branches are in Bangalore, and remaining 19 branches we have opened in rest of Karnataka. And this is where our strength lies, and we have seen above in the range of 50% to 60% growth in Karnataka and newer markets which we have in Himachal, Karnataka, ranges of around 50% to 55% in UP also in Uttarakhand. So that is the range which we are in. But these are very, still we consider them as a very nascent market. And we have a huge amount of headroom and runway to grow in this market, and we will keep investing and exploring newer opportunities.
Okay, thanks. That was really useful. All the best.
Thanks. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for allowing me a follow-up question. So, just thinking aloud on this forum, now that you have done this, or rather rolled out this tech transformation to all your branches pan-India, just wanted to understand, now there are two levers to an improvement in throughput. A, better distribution, higher productivity from your branches. And then the second thing is this new tech platform, this technology transformation that you have undergone. So I don't need concrete numbers here, but intuitively, if you think about it, how can disbursement momentum improve? A, through better distribution productivity, and B, through this tech transformation that you have done. If you can help us think through that.
Yeah, I think your question is around same thing which we are internally discussing at senior management level and zonal head levels. After doing the Salesforce implementations and then followed by Oracle, FlexCuban as well as ERP system, yes, we are looking how we can enhance our distribution network without expanding our branch network. So we are in coming... it's too early to say, but in coming quarters, coming years, we are expanding other way to originate our leads and our business basically. So because in this process, we have also made a MuleSoft implementation also, which can talk thousands of API on real time on various sourcing channels. Digital sourcing, I think you know last time, sometime back you mentioned that we almost reached 10% business with a non-conventional business. But in old system, we got stuck to increase beyond 10% basically. Now we think after this implementation, tech team, our underwriting team, risk team, business team feel confident that now we can increase this 10% contribution, which is a non-conventional method of sourcing the business. We can increase that channel also in coming years. Yes, efficiency side also, it will help us, secondly mentioned, ki all risk underwriting system, valuation risk, technical risk, legal risk, everybody is on the same platform and real-time basis. They can talk to customers, they can real-time basis, they can talk to relationship managers about the case, about the any further input is required basically. So efficiency-wise, we look forward, it will substantially increase our efficiency. which used to take, let's say, 13 days, 14 days in our overall lead time, we are targeting to bring down almost 6 to 7 days basically, 6 days basically. That will help us. And secondly, I think gradually we are making data science analytics systems more robust in the company, which help us efficiency improvement, that will help us more risk-based pricing, that will help us more, let's say, lead funnel prioritizing in the lead funnel itself basically, so that we start to invest risk, we start to invest time and energy when my app score is a certain level. So that thing also will go live in another, let's say, quarter and so. So all these things will help us to bring the efficiency, risk-based pricing, and the OPEX will also be come in to myself.
Thank you for that, Ghanshyamji. And just one last question from my side. Again, going back to the topic of OPEX, for how many more quarters or within how many more quarters do we expect this technology transformation program that you've embarked upon to get completed? And a related question is for how many more quarters do you expect the OPEX to remain elevated? Sometime back, Ghanshyamji, you had given a guidance of OPEX of about 3.7% OPEX to assets. But after this implementation is complete, this tech transformation is complete, based on whatever your assessment is, what can this OPEX come down to in the next maybe 2 years?
I think we mentioned earlier also, again we are reiterating with the confidence ki we are OPEX cycle, we are almost at a peak level, 3.7 to 3.80 is a peak level. We mentioned it that point also, this year is our investment year in which we are investing in a tech platform, technology, transformation, everything basically. And from next year onwards, we definitely look for looking 20 to 25 basis points saving on OPEX side continuously for 2-3 years. So that will bring back to our original where we started, less than 3% OPEX to AUM level.
Thank you so much, sir. That's all from us.
Thanks, Abhijit.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Just to understand, sir, if I'm not wrong, in the last con call of Q4, you had guided for ROE of somewhere between 15 to 20%. So just to get an understanding, what would be the ideal timeline? I mean, within 2 years, we can stabilize around that level.
If you refer our Investor Day conference at Mumbai, and if you compare at opening to closing net worth, because if you know, last 5 years we never raised any capital, last 5 years we raised in the IPO. If you compare opening to closing net worth and what ESOP money we get every year when employee exercise his shares, if we exclude that portion, if you see in last 2 years, we are continuously at 16% plus at a return on net worth, opening net worth. Because of is all this India's accounting, everything, profitability, year profitability wise, you see that is roughly come somewhere 14 odd percent. But if you see increase on net worth basis, it is 16% plus. We are already in that trajectory.
Okay. So I thought that adjusted, you're talking about that the ROE you made in this quarter is around 13%. I thought you're talking about that ROE coming to 15 to 20%.
Well, this ROE will, as normal, we are giving our directions, long-term directions, ki this business is at a growth rate of 25% and at a 7-8 leverage, we will maintain our ROA 2.5 to 3%. So this business is long-term sustainable business at 15 to 20% ROA business.
Okay, right. I get it. That's all from my side. I'll get back.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nidesh from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir, again. Historically, we were having a decentralized underwriting system where at the branch level, the credit decisioning is happening. So with the new software implementation, is there any change in the workflow on the underwriting side?
So Nidesh, Ashutosh this side. See, there is no change in terms of underwriting or assessing the cash flows. So new system is going to support the underwriter on all the peripheral checks and all the peripheral clerical work so that he need not to rewrite things and we can be rest assured that through APIs all the documents are cross-checked and say sort of certain APIs, bank statements actually can be with certain softwares you can actually get all the bank statements already calculated, use of account segregator. So these kind of clerical things when they do it, and also they can do the prioritization of the cases. So when in one of the questions how the efficiency can be increased is because all the documents, when the client puts it up in the system, the underwriter will know which client is almost ready with the property and the document so that he can prioritize those clients. Because as you know, buying a house is not an impulsive decision. Some people just log in the proposal while they are still searching for the property, right? So these kinds of peripheral things actually, the system will help to the underwriter. But as far as our touch and feel of typically self-employed non-professionals visiting their businesses, understanding their cash flows, will continue to be in the same manner.
Sure. And the credit decisioning will be happening at the branch level, right?
It is happening at the branch level only. There is no centralization of the credit.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sachinder Binder, MD and CEO of the company, for closing comments.
Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. As we conclude today's earnings call, I would like to express my heartfelt gratitude to each one of you for your participation and engagement. The dedication and commitment of our team, the trust and support of our stakeholders and shareholders, and the loyalty of our valued customers have always been instrumental in our growth story. Looking ahead, I want to emphasize that we will continue to maintain razor-sharp focus on governance, asset quality, profitability, leveraging technology, and creating a superior customer experience. We remain optimistic about the future and are confident that our strategic initiatives will continue to drive sustainable growth and shareholder value. Once again, thank you for your ongoing support and belief in our vision. If you have any further questions or require additional information, please feel free to reach out to our investor relations team. Thank you and have a wonderful weekend ahead. Thanks.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Aavas Financiers Limited, we conclude this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.